I'll be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces a character, and character produces hope.
I think most of you, just take a moment here, have noticed the change in the podium and the lights. Joel has worked very hard. We've come up with these to try to not only improve the lighting up here in the pulpit, but also try to reduce that glare on the screen. It's at times difficult to see because of too much light reflecting. So hope this helps. It might take a little time before we get used to everything, but I appreciate it so much. Our hallways now are lit up like the runway at Donaldson Center, so we can see going to classes and see the little ones running down the hall. But I deeply appreciate that hard work. It's not easy working above these ceilings. You know, we've all had tough times in our lives. We've all on occasions been very discouraged, seeming like we've been defeated. And it's during these times that we've probably lost some confidence in God and maybe even in ourselves. This has been going on for generations. In Genesis 32, we look at Israel, how they were afraid and how they were getting weary of waiting for Moses to come down off of that mountain where God was speaking to him. They built that golden calf. Or how Job had questioned God as he was going through his trials. In John chapter 21 and verse 3, after Peter denied Christ, went away discouraged, him and the apostles, he decided to go fishing. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, we find there where Paul tells about Demas and how Demas had decided to go back into the world. And the Israelites and Job and Peter and Demas, they seemingly forgot that all the while God was keeping everything under control. Providence was at work in their lives. Now, what about us? How well do we do when our tough times and difficult moments we face? You know, that night in the upper room, Jesus knew something that the apostles didn't. He knew that their world was about to tumble in and that they were going to face some very difficult moments, his death on the cross. Now, if you will, put yourselves in their shoes. Be one of the apostles. And you were one of them that invested 3 years with him being the Messiah. That along with them, you expected him to set up an earthly kingdom. You expected to be given some special appointment within that kingdom. And so you can imagine that they were about to face some very tough times and difficult times as they watched their hope die as a criminal. That they were going to have to learn to live without Jesus. Jesus knew this was coming. So in John 14 and verse 1, Jesus tried to provide them with some comfort, where he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." What Jesus is saying is that since God is God, turn your troubles, turn your problems to him. Let God be God and acknowledge his power. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 16, In the King James Version, it gives us one of the shortest histories of the Israelite nation found anywhere. And it says, "For Israel slides back as a backsliding heifer." And in Psalm 78, it gives us the reasons for this, as it lists five of the great sins of Israel, two of them being found in verse 19 and verse 22. One of them was that they limited the Holy One in verse 19. And in verse 22, they did not remember His power. The truth is, all too often, we do too. We limit God, and we forget His power. We end up making God so small, so limited, so helpless, that we are basically the same. Look at these random verses in Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 10, "Behold, the Lord comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him." Verses 12 through 17, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked the heavens with a span? Enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows Him His counsel? Who did He consult, and who made Him understand? Who taught Him the path of justice and taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scale. Behold, He takes up the coastline like a fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All nations are as nothing before Him. They are accounted by Him as less than nothing in emptiness." Now, verses 26 through 29. "So lift up your eyes on high, and we see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the world. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." But this is what we need to hear. "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength." These verses describe a God who cannot be limited. God never has been, nor ever will be, at our mercy or at the mercy of our circumstances. Instead, the Bible says that He rules them, that He gives order to them, that He uses them all to our good and benefit and to our betterment. Romans 8 and verse 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." When Paul was suffering from that affliction, that thorn in the flesh, it was God who said to him in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." The power of God can best be seen in our weaknesses, in our tough times. You know, it doesn't matter whether the need is making a dry pathway through the Red Sea or turning a rock into a drinking fountain or giving a blind man sight or raising the dead. We can face tough and difficult times with confidence if we acknowledge the fatherhood the power, the presence, and the peace that God can and will bring in our lives if we turn our difficulties to Him in prayer. When a hurricane approaches the coast, Navy bases from Florida all the way up the coast, all those Navy bases, what do they do with their ships that can work? They send them out to sea. They send them out to face the storm instead of leaving them on the docks. And friends, we need to stop dodging the storms. We need to face it, and we need to grow. We spend way too much time trying to keep difficult moments out of our lives. Too many of us run from difficulties rather than facing them. We need to embrace them. We need to walk through them, and we need to learn from them. We have allowed the world to force us into a mold. We've been conditioned to fight to keep troubles out of our lives, when in truth, we grow more in character with difficult times than when things are going well. Troubles are coming. That's life. That's life. We need to grab hold of God's hand. We need to access His power and face the circumstances with confidence that we're going to be better off genuinely facing our tough times than running away from them. You know, when I was preparing this part of the sermon, the first thing that came to mind was those commercials for those people that get you out of IRS troubles. You know, and you see the commercials. And these people had gotten so they started ignoring all the notices they give them, that the IRS sent them until that time, that now they got to lean against their house. Instead of opening up the letter and taking care of things and making contact and trying to resolve the issue, they tried to hide from it. And their problems became worse and worse and worse. You know, look at the coastal cities and all those marinas everywhere where everybody tied their boats up. And what do you see after a hurricane? Cars with no wheels, because they're all up on land. Instead of facing the storm, they tried to stay the course and stay tied to the dock. You know, we have examples of this in Genesis 23 or 27. Jacob ran away from Esau. He tried to avoid that conflict with Esau. But what happened to Jacob? He had more problems. He had his problems with Laban. He had this fear when he came back and was finally going to meet Esau, because he didn't take care of the problem at the time. What about Jonah? Jonah chapter 1, what did Jonah try to do? He tried to run away from God. He tried to run away from what he perceived to be a difficult task. He ended up getting caught up in a storm of gigantic proportions. He ended up in the belly of a great fish. Both Peter and the Hebrew writer tell us that God takes those tough times and He uses them to refine us, to remake us, to remold us, and to reshape us into pure gold. That He disciplines us as sons in those difficult moments that we face. You know, we can take our difficulties and our tragedies and our failures and view them as problems, or we can use them as opportunities to grow our character. We can use them to strengthen our faith. we can use them as stepping stones in our quest to be more Christ-like. Jesus proved this when he took the worst thing that could happen, dying on the cross, and turned it into the best possible thing for every one of us here, our redemption. Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Look at the great men and women of the past. Those who chose to embrace their tough and difficult times. What if Abraham decided, you know, God, I'm staying right where I'm at in Ur. I'm happy here. I've got all my family right here. What if Joseph had chosen the easy and pleasurable way out and said yes to Potiphar's wife? What if Moses chose not to suffer affliction? What if David decided to run away from Goliath? What if Mary said no to the son so she would not endure the embarrassment of a Holy Spirit pregnancy? What if Jesus had chosen the easy way and avoided the cross? Would they have been better off by dodging their difficulties? Surely not. And neither will we. Their difficult times made them better men and women, greater men and women. And their tough times blesses each one of us this morning. God has promised us grace sufficient and his never-failing love. So we must not dodge those tough moments, but use them as stepping stones for growth. God is here with us, and he promises to never leave or forsake us. Friends, we must learn to be patient. We need to learn to wait on God. Can you ever remember reading in your Bibles at any time in there of God being in a hurry or getting ahead of himself? What if God created man before he created the sun and the moon and the days and the water? That would be getting ahead of himself, but God laid everything out in a nice, organized way. God knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. Because God can see from the end, from the beginning, and everything that's in between. And God has purpose. Remember that country song that the group Alabama sang? I'm always in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I got to do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry and don't know why. That sounds like each of us, doesn't it? We're in a hurry. We don't understand why. We don't know why, but we're in a hurry. You leave for some place and you got an hour to get there, and you leave an hour and a half early, and you still speed up to get there, and you sit in the parking lot for an hour waiting for your appointment. But you got there. But you don't know why. Scripture tells us to be still and know God. To wait on the Lord. Be strong and take heart. That brings us to our scripture reading. Romans 5 and 3 and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Friends, our character is enhanced by our patience. And finally, my friends, our tough times will be a lot easier if we keep our eyes focused on heaven. Regardless of what difficulties we face in this life, the Bible tells us that our earthly trials are not to compare to the glories that we will enjoy in heaven. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, Paul writes here, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." And in Romans 8 and verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." You better believe our lives at one point or another are going to tumble in. You can believe without a doubt that the storms are going to come, that we are going to have the tough and difficult times. Maybe it's going to be this week. Maybe we're already going through them this very moment. But the question becomes, how will we react to them? How are we reacting to them now? Have we worn the skin off our hands by wringing them? Have we spent last night awake all night worrying about them? Are we allowing them to destroy us, or will we use them to become the people that God wants us to be? Will we maintain faithfulness by strengthening our faith in God, not allowing these tough times to overtake us, but learning from them, by not becoming impatient with God, but learning to wait on Him and never losing sight of our eternal goal, our home in heaven? It's not what happens to us. It's not the tough times that determine who we are and how we feel about ourselves, but how we react to those tough times and difficult times. Are we facing them? Have we allowed our countenance to fall because we have allowed ourselves to be overwhelmed by the times that we face, the tough times? I was joking with Charles this morning about going to Home Depot and pricing some lumber, and I told him, I said, there's a cleanup on aisle 30, when I threw up when I saw the price of the lumber. You know, we all think these are difficult times. You go out of the grocery store with two bags of groceries that 4 months ago you had five bags, six bags of groceries. Difficult times, tough times. But God's going to get us through them if we let Him get us through them. Or we can sit and wring our hands and, oh, woe is me. Life will not end through those storms and difficult times, and we will get through them all. This is the storms that pass over this world every day. People face them, and the sun comes back out. The rainbow is there, and it can be for each and every one of us, regardless of those things that we face. Where do you stand today? Who is your anchor in the storms of life? This morning you have an opportunity to have that anchor. If you are not a child of God, you have that opportunity this morning to obey the gospel. Through repentance and confession and New Testament baptism, you can get in that boat. You can have that hope of eternal life, that your anchor will keep you secure, and then live that faithful life and the problems that this world can throw at us will be meaningless. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you have allowed your countenance to fall. Maybe you're blaming God for what you're going through. God only allows the things to happen. He does not cause them. God doesn't cause the afflictions of Job. He just allowed them to happen. It just took a while for Job to realize that God is there all the time. Do we? If there is anyone who is in need of our prayers or wants to respond to this invitation, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.